With our special guest tonight, Lori Toy, we're going to come back. A final hour of phone calls with Lori right here on Coast to Coast AM. Lori, do you look out past 100 years? Do you see a planet in the ruins, or is it enlightened?
Well, it's my personal belief that the changes will go on for 100 years and beyond that. I think that we will also see a great growth, of course, in our spiritual evolution. But these changes, I think, are going to happen for some time.
I think so, too. Let's go back to Earl in Sacramento now as we start our final calls this hour. Earl, thanks for holding. I'll let you start all over again.
Sure. Well, I'll fast forward a little bit. Two other main points I wanted to bring up about this dream area and the experience I had. One, I got separated from my wife, so I was able to reconnect with her through intuition, which helped us find each other.
Sure.
And the other thing is the dream, ended up after the dust settled and there was a group of 50 people that I granted sanctuary on one of my farms, because the group was a group of people that actually were sincere in their willingness to want and need shelter and to grow their own food, and they weren't hostile in any way. So, this is the experience that I had. Now, whether it's interesting when we talk about prophecy, because I've had dreams that were for my own life that were prophetic in nature, but prophecies can be so far into the future that it's hard to say when we have an experience if it took place. And Lori talked about some of these other cities that are adjacent our planet, mm-hmm. which, by the way, my experience is they're on a different frequency than the frequency of the physical body. So they have to be accessed through our multidimensional states. So this experience could have happened in one of those areas.
Right, right. And what you would call like a simultaneous reality.
Right. But the point is this process that I'm experiencing here is a reflection of that. So all this is happening, even though the timelines might seem, from the, this area, they're all interconnected.
It's all interconnected.
So, yeah. Right. So I really respected, Lori, that you brought up the fact that, you weren't able to really pinpoint these are just, an evolution of what happened 30 years ago till today, the access
right.
for this information, not only, as a group, but...
It's always changing and it's always morphing, contingent on the spiritual consciousness of the Earth. But I found it fascinating to listen to your dream experience, because about 6 weeks ago, I had one of those kind of lucid dream experiences. And I remember in the dream that I knew that something very profound had happened and that everything had been changed forever. But I wasn't given any more clarity beyond that. And so I spoke to a good psychic friend of mine. She's worked as a tarot reader for over 50 years, and I consider her, a teacher to me, not only a friend. And I explained my experience. She said, I had the same thing happen to me. And she says, but I don't know if the experience or what we both saw, if it's going to be positive or negative. And I said, I don't know either.
Right.
Sometimes we just have experiences we don't know.
Well, one thing I just wanted to say, one other point I wanted to make was that you brought up third dimension, fourth dimension.
Okay. Yeah.
I believe in the area we'll call fifth dimension. Is
yes.
where
yeah. And the Golden Cities function at the fifth dimension as well.
Right. So when an individual, sees the fifth dimension, and you brought up light and sound, okay?
Yeah.
Sees the light, hears the sound, which is actually the God energy coming out of the center of the universe, if you will. when a person steps into that area or an individual and looks at life from that area, their time, space, everything in the experience I had goes away, and we actually live in this complete moment. And the shift is we begin serving life. That the mission comes from seeking that place to serving from that place.
Yes,
our pain is really the effort to view life from that fifth dimension.
Yes, and we're in the ever-present now. There's no such thing as time. And we are vibrating at a much, much higher level, similar to what I guess maybe the best way to explain is the Christ consciousness, which I've come to understand is the highest energy or frequency attainable on Earth. And, try to put an idea behind it, that I see the Christ consciousness is like a step down transformer of energies, of the I am energies, and those energies enlighten, heal, and transform all conditions.
In all this talk,
human conditions of degradation and death.
Well, I was just going to ask you too, Lori. With all this talk of enlightenment, do you get into hands-on healing? You talked about the Barbara Brennan; she was one of the best.
We had a school for approximately 3 years.
You did?
Philadelphia, yes, and we focused primarily all on hands-on healing. We taught different techniques that integrated a lot of the Brennan technique. We evolved it to incorporate a lot of Ascended Master technique. And, of course, in Light of Awakening, we share a lot of that information. You might notice we had a lot of drawings of the human aura and the chakra system and how it worked. But the school was, oh gosh, George, it was fun. It was just wonderful. We had about 200 students, and we all worked it at many different levels with the healing process.
Okay, next up, let's go to Jacksonville, Florida. Eric's turn. Eric, thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
All is well. Good.
Thanks for having me. I got a question about the subconscious. I had a dream recently, and from what I took from it, it was almost like a almost like a reincarnation type of an experience. I saw all my past lives. All my current family were in the dream. I just lived different lives in different areas. And I wanted to get really what your concept is as far as reincarnation. And when I was coming out of the altered state of consciousness, I can feel my brain was vibrating, almost like it was erasing my memories of that dream.
Like you were at a new level of consciousness, or
right.
You weren't supposed to know that information, so it wouldn't interfere with your day-to-day?
Right. And it was very profound and very odd to me because it was the first time it ever happened.
Wow.
And it was and I'm just trying to get your guys' reaction on that as far as what do you think it could have been.
There's a lot of different theories on reincarnation, the traditional typical that you hear is that, we have one lifetime and then we have a life between life. And I think Dr. Michael Newton, has described that experience the best. And I recommend his work. I think it's really fantastic. And then we go into another lifetime. But there's another theory that I think is highly possible, that all of our lifetimes are happening simultaneously.
I think so too, Lori. I really do. When does Divine Destiny come out?
It should be out. Guess what, George? I was supposed to get the proof today.
Ah.
So, fingers crossed.
It's close.
Yeah, perhaps in 30 days, maybe 60.
It's close.
It's very close.
Let's talk about the map for just a second, Lori, and we'll go back to final calls to this half hour and then the next half hour as well. I still think it's very possible something could happen to make that map look that way. Too many scientists have talked about and have warned us about things like that. You know, they warn us about, for example, in the Canary Islands, what would happen if a tsunami occurred there,
right,
which
I've,
is possible.
I've seen that. It's a great YouTube that you can watch.
Wipes out the East Coast, you know, 50 to 100 miles inland. Florida would go.
There's so many trends of the map that I do see happening. You know, like what I mentioned is, you know, it's so cold anymore in the Northeast. I think the overall global warming, I mean, you know, I don't want to get into politics, and it's too bad that it's become a politically driven issue.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter how it's happening. You know,
it's happening. Something's happening.
It's happening.
Well, they, you know, some are saying, though, and we've had some experts, and they may be right, that we are in the beginning stages of an ice age. Regardless, something's happening to the planet.
Well,
it's going through some changes.
And what I understand, the ice ages are still related to the global warming.
Because, yes, that's true.
Because because there's so many phases of climate change that ensue from that process. Great book by James Hansen called Storms of My Grandchildren. It was out a couple years ago, but it was complicated, trust me. But it did give me a bit of an insight of why, you know, the issues of global warming could be so easily politicized. But, you know, back to the map, so many of, you know, where they show, especially in the United States, where the changes could happen, they are fault lines. You know, like the Cascadia fault line, the San Andreas fault line, the St. Lawrence Seaway, that fault line, and, of course, you know, the New Madrid.
All right, let's go to Alaska. Ladies with us, west of the Rockies. Hi, lady.
How you doing?
Hey, good to have you with us.
Oh, really good program as always.
Thank you.
George, back in the spring of 2000, I had a dream about the sky being full of paratroopers up here. And I called Art back around 2002, 2003. And what's really, really weird is up here in Alaska, we got Langley Air Force Base, the most far north strategic point. And what the government is doing is they are closing out that base, and they're going to consolidate all them birds over here in Anchorage in one nice little spot. So that's going to leave the Great Northwest all open.
Wide open.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And to me, it just really doesn't make any sense. And you had a man that called back a couple of calls, and he was talking about the Arab Spring being such a beautiful thing. Well, there's a whole bunch of Christians over there, the Coptic Christians, and in Syria, people can't even get out of the country, and they're getting slaughtered. And nobody has a problem with it.
Nobody's doing anything over there.
I think we really need to pray for those people and ask the Lord to put a hedge of protection and to let his angels in this time show his goodness.
Well, let me ask you, Lori, at what point does spirituality really kick in for all this? The clouds open up, and all of a sudden, a beam of a thunderbolt comes down and gets everybody who might not have been towing the line.
I think it's always present. We just may not be able to see it or potentially experience it in its fullness. But, you know, as you were both speaking about this, I was reading one of the prophecies. You know, this is in, I can't remember if it's in Points of Perception or Light of Awakening, but it says, we are experiencing a tipping point in our world political scene where we can create world wars or world peace. It says here, the outcome is contingent on our ability to drive out lower energies of competition, greed, avarice, and fear. It really gets down. It's that simple.
All right, let's go to James in Charlotte, North Carolina, one of our favorite spots. Hi, James, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I had a quick question. I'm looking at the IM map, I'm America map.
Yes.
And there's a fellow by the name of John Moore who has his own radio talk show, and he's done a lot of research into the rising ocean levels. And one of the things that he mentions is he basically has a map similar to this, but not as drastic on the West Coast, that describes a lot of flooding areas that was produced by the U.S. Navy. Back in, I think, 1979, there was a meeting, classified meeting with a bunch of admirals, and they were basically told that the oceans will come out of their basins. And
oh, really?
In their lifetime. And if they wanted a safe place to retire, the Arkansas Missouri Ozarks would be one of the places.
Would be one of the. Is it because of the geology there?
Yeah, it all has to do with.
They're a little higher.
More about elevation.
Yeah, they're higher in that region.
Yeah, I was always told, around 4,000 feet in elevation. But geology plays a big role in it. I know that the Pacific Northwest, that the geology there is literally honeycombed with basalt flows, and that right now they do navigate it, that there are allegedly, underground caverns that go all the way into Lake Coeur d'Alene and Lake Ponderé.
Yeah. And there's another fellow, Brett Miller of the Horizon Project, describes pole shifts, and he's been on coast to coast a few times.
Yeah.
And he describes one of these pole shifts could actually change the oceans and the land formation. I mean, you could tie it into Mayan. Zachariah Sitchin described a celestial body that could come in Planet X that could possibly switch the poles on us. And then you hear about all these governments building these huge underground bases underneath deep underground. The Russians have done it. The U.S. has done it. The Swiss, Norwegians have even built the Doomsday Seed Vault. And I don't know, and you hear about all these strange sounds too, and I think Linda's going to be doing a...
She's doing that tomorrow. That. Yeah, she is. Well, let me ask you this, Lori. The map from 20 years ago was based on what? What happened in order for...
It was a reading. Now, this is the way I understand it. It was a reading of the collective consciousness at that time. And where they saw where the consciousness would move towards.
But did they explain what event might have occurred to make that happen?
They talked about three events that we're seeing some of these happen now. The first one is that they said, and I think I've said this on the last time I was on your show, they talked about a downturn in the worldwide economy. And that then we would also, alongside that, we would see overall global warming. Well, those are the two events.
Mm-hmm.
But then the final event, they said, and the scientific community would know about it and would warn us way ahead of time.
The whammy.
Yeah, that we would have an asteroid or a large meteorite impact the Earth somewhere in the Nevada desert. And that what that would do, that would set off a series of events, of earthquakes, of volcanic explosions, that we could have anywhere from 2 to 4 years of rain, and that these were all the things then that could bring about a pole shift.
All right.
To what I've later, come to understand as the reservoir effect, too much.
Well, and it all could happen. It all could happen indeed. Lori Toy, our special guest. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take your final phone calls. Fast evening tonight. And her website, of course. And don't forget, she's got a blog. We've got it linked up at our Twitter feed. How do you find that? Well, go to coasttocoastam.com, up to the far right-hand corner. Click the Twitter icon, and there you go for that. And you can also follow us on Facebook, like so many people do. It's the like on Facebook, so just click that. And take that away as well. And also, we send out the free Coast Zone newsletter every morning. You can sign up for that if you're not receiving that. Might as well take advantage of that, too. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with final calls on Coast to Coast AM. I am speaking Saturday, March 3rd at the Health Expo in Long Beach, California. Those of you who are inclined to come out that way, should be a great panel, good discussion, lots of news and information there. I'll be back in a moment with Lori Toy and your final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Lori, what are your thoughts of extraterrestrial visitations on this planet, that they came down here, maybe genetically altered us? What do you think of that thought, that theory?
Oh, I think that it's part of the genesis of our Earth. I think we are a combination of star seeds, if you will, from many, many different planets.
I believe that, too. Ready for more calls?
Absolutely.
Let's go to Sabrina in Lyndale, Washington. Hey, Sabrina, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi, good to have you with us.
And Lori.
Hi, Sabrina.
Yeah, I was curious, you know, about the Golden Cities. We're going to be moving down to Georgia, and I wanted to know if there's a Golden City near Atlanta.
There is. There is. In fact, Atlanta is on, it's in the western door of the Golden City, or close into, you know, the Golden Cities have a pulse that you can feel within 20 to 40 miles.
Mm-hmm.
But the apex is Augusta, Georgia. And there is a pretty active group in that area. So, you know, if you are interested and, you know, would like to, know other like-minded folks, I can put you in contact.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, just you can just, you know, email us at orders at I'm American, and I'll link you up.
By the way, when's your website going to open up?
Is it still slow?
It's probably going to be that way for a while.
Well, hope it does. I guess in the meantime, people can go to the blog.
Yeah,
and also the YouTube. There's a YouTube site, and there's a link to the YouTube site, you know, off of my blog.
What propelled you into doing all this kind of work?
Really, honestly, George, it was my hope and love for the generations to come. I really struggled before I printed the map, just because I knew the huge change that it would make in my life. Because, you know, when you actually do something like this, you are faced with a lot of smirks. when people ask you, what do you do for a living? You just say, I'm a writer. You can't say I'm a psychic medium.
Right.
And I knew what that meant, but I also felt that it was more important to share this information that we would have a chance. I think if I had not, I would have always thought, wow, what if I had done that?
Let's go to James, truck driving in Nebraska. Hey, James, go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my
call.
Sure thing.
I've always had an interesting theory on this Mayan and prophecies and all this. If you take our Earth, Sun, and Moon, and you put them in alignment, there are drastic changes that happen on Earth, tides, gravity changes, and so on. I just wonder what kind of gravity change we will experience when all these suns, all these planets and stuff line up with the center of the galaxy.
That's interesting.
It is. I think that I did a show on Coast to Coast, which was the 2000 alignment. And I think at that time people were really wondering what was going to happen. Again, I think it's more of a harmonization opportunity to harmonize with higher energies. And I think it is in light of awakening where actually I talk about some of the latest study by scientists where they actually think that the Mayans and actually our solar system is not really part of the Milky Way. And that the end of this calendar is actually part of that old solar system, which is a Sagittarius dwarf universe, is finally starting to collide into and being absorbed with the Milky Way. And so they think that that might be what the threshold event of the Mayan calendar is about, is the end of the time of that independent galaxy and now our entrance and being part of a larger galaxy.
Lori, what do you think is some kind of an event because of the sun? Maybe a solar burst of some
solar
type.
Flares?
Yeah.
I think it's highly possible. I know that in some of the channelings, the master teachers talked about waxing and waning cycles of the sun, very similar to waxing and waning cycles of the moon. And some of that is covered in Light of Awakening, and more of it will be in Divine Destiny.
You've talked about some safe havens in some of your work. In your opinion, if you had a blank check and you could do whatever you had to do, where would you go?
I'd stay where I'm at. I live in a golden city. I live here because I wanted to live my work. I wanted to be authentic to what I believe. And We're about 5,000 feet elevation here, which I think is a good elevation.
That's
to live
pretty
at
high.
This time.
Hello, yeah. Hello. Let's go to Catherine in Palm Desert, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, George. Hi, Lori. Can you hear
Hi.
Me?
Yes.
Okay. Lori, you're really, really nice, and you do have some truth, but I believe you to be deceived. You're talking about these golden cities and about how sustainability can heal the world. You're talking about Agenda 21, where they take away our land, our cars. They put us on these high-rise apartments. They've taken away every bit of freedom that we have. I really believe that you need to look into this. Yeah, I believe you're deceived.
Hold on. Who's doing this? What high-rise apartments?
Well, you know Agenda 21, George. You've heard of Agenda 21, right?
Yeah, but it's not here yet.
No, but I'm saying she's looking in the future. She's looking. She's looking in the future, and she's seeing these golden cities, and she's talking about sustainability can heal the world. There might be some truth to it, but I do believe she's deceived. These are not going to be such golden cities to the people who are having to live there without their land, you know, no land of their own, no cars. What I'm saying, I believe she's deceived.
All right, so you think somebody's got you deceived, Lori, that you've been tricked by the Illuminati. Agenda 21 is probably an Illuminati elitist agenda.
Well, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But honestly, the way that I see it, and I think that I've stated over and over in this interview, is that this is a long, long process. We're not going to have a golden age immediately. We're just in the outskirts of that. You know, I think that from the research I've done is that we'll probably be hitting the apex of this, the height of the golden age, thousands of years from now. But we are beginning to be influenced by this. And the influence of this energy, the rays, what they call, the, you know, that happened at around Y2K, the golden ray, yep, which flooded the earth, actually has instigated some of these changes. And right now, while some of these changes would seem to be very negative in their nature,
I guess it is possible.
In the end, I think they're going to work out, and it's going to be positive.
It is possible, though. Let's assume that some of these calamities occur, and government steps in and tries to, you know, like FEMA camps and things like that.
Right.
That's all possible.
Anything
sadly
is possible. But I think what is also important for us is to stay focused on the positive and realize that the power of prayer is positive and very powerful.
Let's go to Rochester, New York. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Yeah, George, Jeff, long-time listener. I used to call you all the time from Grosse Pointe, Michigan, Cold Story.
Sure thing. Okay. Remember that.
I have been noticing something in that, you know, when I've been talking to friends about a school we went to in Michigan that I haven't been at in nearly 20 years, there's a particular triangle of the campus around what was an old main building, a food service building, and a maintenance shop where energy is just extremely concentrated. And it's you notice when it's there. And even when I wasn't into this kind of thing when I was there from 1987 to 1993, you know when you were around that.
And I'm losing you, Jeff. What kind of phone are you on?
I'm on an iPhone.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to cut you short. Go ahead real fast.
Okay. And then we're talking about that energy, and even when my friends and I have talked and we've recorded each other's conversations, of course, with our giving each other's permission, we feel that energy coming back to us. And then as an added twist of fate, I've had a strong desire to get back in touch with somebody who was an acquaintance who taught there in a different department in the last 3 months. And she taught a lot of lower functioning students who couldn't see or hear, and all had some other issues as well. And I don't know what the significance of it is, but after having gone through a personal year or two of challenges here, it seems like that there's some kind of significance with contacting her in this energy and how it's going to help me better myself in the future. I have a feeling that if I were to go back there, it would be intensified, even though the campus is just kind of standing idle. But I wonder what the significance of that energy might be now, and why I would be tempted to contact this teacher so bad.
I don't know. I do not know. Are people getting some kind of an awakening these days, Lori?
I believe they are. I think that there is an acceleration for those who have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, those who are ready. Of course, there are those who aren't ready, you know, that they just see the negative things that are happening and they see the death and the destruction. I think this is ultimately the choice that we are faced with right now.
That's real. That's real.
It is real. It is real, as exampled on this show.
You look at things that are happening, for example, in Syria, where Assad is killing his own people, out of control, denying anything's going on.
Yeah.
You know, even a couple of Western journalists got killed yesterday. Little babies are getting killed. I mean, at what point does all this, you know, and what good is this enlightenment when we have people like that on this planet?
Well, I think what it really gets down to is ultimately we as one person have to continue to move forward. What was it that Buddha talked about, how just one light could light another and light another and light another candle. And it would not take away from that light in the lighting of those many candles. And so essentially, you know, there the changes that are coming, that are upon us, yes, you know, we can go into fear-based thinking and we can give that power if we wish. But on the other hand, we can see the positive side of the things that are happening. And there's many, many positive things that are happening in the world today that are very, very good.
Well, let's go to Joplin, Missouri. Will, welcome to the program. Hey, Will, how are you?
Oh, first I want to say I'm a long-time listener. This is my first time ever getting in.
Well,
and say hello to you, George, and your guests.
Thank you, Will. How's the city coming along since the tornado last year?
It's coming along well. I mean, there's the pickup and the rebuilding process is moving along pretty good.
Good.
You know, I mean, it may have broke some buildings and stuff like that, but it definitely didn't break the spirit of Joplin.
All right, sure.
But I got a question. See if your guests can kind of resonate with this, because I've always believed this, that first of all, this planet we live on is a living and breathing entity. And I also believe that it's moving into a higher state of vibration. I think that there's been life here for billions of years, and this life has not always been, let's say, polite to this planet. And that we've done a lot of damage and multiple lives of carnation here, and we're working through all this. And as the planet is deciding to change, it is going to move into a higher vibration, to kind of touch on what the one called it, what you were saying, George, about the Assads and things like that. People that do not willingly make this change into a higher vibration, putting more positive thoughts out there and trying to be somewhat of an assistance to this beautiful entity as it moves into a higher consciousness, will simply be, how can you say it, weeded out, for lack of a better way. And it might sound kind of harsh, but they may find themselves not here any longer. They may find their next incarnation cycle is somewhere in another plane, somewhere where that plane is more conducive to where they are. And I think that as we move more into this higher spiritual realm, some people would like to say fourth dimension or fifth dimension, but this planet will move, and you will either move with it or you will find yourself elsewhere. And I tend to be one of the ones that hope that with enough light and enough positive energy that we put out there, that we can all raise the vibration of this planet and it'll move forward, and we can move with it. And with that, I would like to get your guest opinion on that, and also her opinion on one thing before I go, is her opinion on how sexuality relates to spirituality also. Because because I am an openly gay individual, I've often noticed that most of that, hatred and discrimination towards people of my kind tends to come from, like, religious paradigms. But earlier on, indigenous people had different takes on that, and I also see that I don't see where sexuality plays any part in anybody's spiritual progress. But with that, I'll take my answer off there, and I'm so glad for this program.
Okay,
George, you keep doing a good job.
Well, you remember the movie The Time Machine, Lori? That old original movie.
H.G. Wells?
Yeah, that one. Do you remember that movie?
Vaguely.
All right, that's probably before your time. But it was one of the old classics. And, you know, everything seemed calm and serene. To a point, of course, because they had...
When they moved into the future?
Yeah, that they had strange creatures there that started to take over and do things like that. But there's got to come a point where I think the enlightened ones overcome the oppressors, don't you?
I'd like to think that, but I do know this, that in other times of great light on earth, the enlightened ones were protected by those who respected who they were and what they were doing. And I think that we are still living in a time where spiritual knowledge is not that revered. But I think we will move into a time where it will be revered, and that it will be respected and protected again for what it is. But yeah, your last caller, I agree wholeheartedly with everything that he had to say about the vibration of Earth, and also that sexuality has nothing to do with our spiritual growth and evolutionary process.
Let's go to Portland, Oregon. Doug, let's get you in here before we lose the night. Go ahead, Doug.
Oh, thank you, George.
Sure.
I had three challenges. The first one was, I think Gordon Michael Scallion predicted that the Earth and California would fall in.
He did.
In the early 90s after he fell off a ladder in 79. And the second one is, as far as global cooling, I think it's in pockets, global warming, rather. I've heard the Arctic is warming, but I've also heard many glaciers are enlarging. And I know in Oregon, it's been warmer here the last decade, or there I go again. It's been cooler here in the last decade because I've had to turn up my heat every year in the same apartment.
Well, of course, in the Midwest, they're having record warm seasons there. Record warm seasons, don't you think? It's everywhere.
It doesn't seem to be everywhere because in Oregon, I have turned up the heat in the same place every year for the last 8 years.
All right, Lori, we are rapidly running out of time. It is almost done. I want to thank you for being on the program.
Oh, thank you for inviting me to be on. It was a pleasure.
All right, take care, and we look forward to Divine Destiny when that comes out.
That'd be great, George. I look forward to sharing it with you.
Okay, and I know Lori's website's been slammed. Eventually, it loosens up, and you can go back and look at some of the stuff, including look at the I Am America maps that point out what things could be. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.